Thank you, Miss Breeze, for giving me this platform. Salutations and greetings to anyone and everyone who may be tuning in, English speakers presumably across the world who are tuning into Miss Breeze's channel. I think you are a trailblazer in this sphere of new media, to use your term. I like to call it the people's media. It's my term, so if you want to use that, feel free. But I am out in nature right now a bit, which is what the elites don't want. I have been watching several of the citizen tidbits from around the world and have learned a lot, and I really enjoy the diversity of opinions and especially the diversity of people who seem to share a lot of opinions, you know, whether it's young people or old people, you know, male, female, different races and such, different countries, which I think is great. And I think people do need to be open to listening to different opinions. And I think you said on your most recent video, Miss Breeze, that open to changing your opinions, which I think is very hard for a lot of people to do. And as far as what is the end game of all this, I mean, the end state, to put it in kind of military terms, is more control, but that's a very nebulous description, right? Whether that means, you know, a health passport where you need a vaccination, or that is, you know, forced vaccinations, cashless society, you know, regardless of what it looks like, it's more control for the few over the many. And I just watched a video of a man on your channel who has a great point. There are so many more people on our side than there are on theirs. Now, they have the almighty power of the banks and the technocracy behind them, but we have the collective hive brain of the people who, you know, don't want to deal with this. And we can't tolerate much more of this. I don't think we have to fight. We got to lay down. And it's just obnoxious to me and really aggravating, the young people who are just, they're so jaded and so just disoriented and disenfranchised with this whole situation, which I think actually might have been intentional too. You know, I'm not surprised I'm seeing all these young folks in these cities looting and stealing things. And I mean, we've been sold this American dream, which is no longer a reality. And then the older generations, you know, they kind of shit on us a bit, not all of them, but for not being able to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, so to speak. And, you know, if I had to, you know, pigeonhole myself, you know, politically, political philosophy-wise, it'd be probably libertarian. But again, that's just, you know, I don't like to use those types of identitarian terms. So, you know, I am all about taking responsibility for oneself, but when the system, the entire system is rigged against people, especially young people with the education system, where you just see ridiculous overpriced tuition, inflation, not commensurate with actual inflation in the economy, you know, you can't blame kids for maybe having trouble seeing a connect between hard work, between effort and reward, when it seems that all that really matters is who your daddy is who your uncle is, who your friends are, who do you know, you know? Because I went to school with these kids, these coasties, as we call them here in Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin, by the way. My name is Attican. I'm 25, so I'm somewhat of a young buck still here. And you know, these coasties, they have cocaine sniffing contests, and they don't care about university because it doesn't matter. They're just gonna go work for their dad anyway. It doesn't, as long as they get their diploma, which is not that hard, let me tell you. Once you actually get in, you know, they're all set. Or, you know, they're all set anyways because they have their dad's job they're gonna go to, or their family business, or their friend's job that they're going to. So, you know, it's not surprising to me that young people are jaded, but what I'm trying to do with my YouTube channel is get them more actively engaged in this situation. You know, I made a deal with myself, I think it was in March or April, I can't remember when. It was shortly before the lockdowns all descended upon all of us. that I was not going to lie to myself anymore. I was going to be honest with myself and by extension other people as well in my life. And because of this deal I made with myself to speak the truth, both in my day-to-day life with, you know, my brother who I'm living with and my family, or on social media, I've lost so many followers. I've lost people, you know, people have unfollowed me who I played football with in middle school, you know, for years. I went to high school with these people. I've known them since I was 12, 11, 10 years old, and they just unfollow me with one click of the button because of the fact that I'm discussing politics on my social media, or maybe my political viewpoints don't align with theirs, or maybe it's envy, I'm not really sure. But this is kind of what, you know, a lot of, I think, young people who are trying to get the other young ones involved are dealing with. And as far as the Xers and the boomers, you know, they, I think their problem is historically they have had trust in the Walter Cronkites of the world and these institutions, whether it's education. You know, my mother has been a teacher for her whole career, and she still wants me to go and get PhDs on top of PhDs, as does my grandfather, and, you know, bless them for that. But, you know, it's just the cost-benefit analysis, input-output, is not what it used to be, and they have trouble dealing with this reality, this cognitive dissonance, not only in the educational institutions, but the media institutions as well. You know, my grandparents, they watch Rachel Maddow religiously. They watch MSNBC religiously, and they believe these people. And, you know, just the annoying, you know, obnoxiousness of how smug these, you know, newscasters are is, you know, a completely different story. But, you know, so, you know, there is this generation that still is clinging to some trust in these institutions. And I think the last one here in the States anyways that is holding on is the military. But even then, I think, you know, it does seem to me that it's waning. Its trust is waning when you hear about these military bases all over the world. And I've lived on some of these because I have family members who are in the military as lily pads for children, for sex trafficking, for drugs, gold, guns, cash, and children. I said children. You know, and you hear about this and you're like, well, actually that kind of makes more sense than self-defense for our nation when there is no really big threat to U.S. security right now in the Middle East or in Central Asia. Why do we have bases there? We don't need bases there. And, you know, why are we in the Middle East anyways, right? When you look at our relationship with Israel, which, again, this is, you know, being from the Midwest, from Wisconsin, I never knew a single Jewish person growing up until I moved outside and I lived in Guam. And I came back and, you know, university is different because you get a lot of Jewish people who come in from the East and the West Coast. And, you know, I'm not trying to paint them with one single brush, right? But the fact of the matter is a lot of these, and that's another thing too, is to distinguish between Zionists and Jewish people and realizing that they are largely in control of a lot of our media. And tying it back to Israel and what we are doing. What are we doing in the Middle East? In my eyes, it's because of Israel. And because of the sexual blackmail that they're doing. When you look at what Epstein was doing, he wasn't just stealing science secrets and business secrets. He was, you know, primarily, perhaps, blackmailing our politicians to influence foreign policy in the Middle East. So, insofar as it benefits Israel. And, you know, you say this on social media, and you just get your accounts zapped, right? You get your accounts eliminated. And you saw this in a somewhat similar vein, not exactly, but with this, you guys, this grime rapper, Wiley, who, you know, is a fantastic musician. I was a hip hop DJ in college, so I love hip hop and respect grime rap a lot. And he lost his social medias because he was talking out against these powerful Jewish people. And, you know, as far as a huge problem too is, you know, I just saw this video of a policeman choking a tiny little 40 kilogram woman for not wearing a mask in Australia. And, you know, that's another thing too, which segues into one of a big point I want to make, is this light switch thinking. And I think the actual cognitive bias is called black and white thinking, but that's not even scientifically accurate if you know anything about colors. Black and white are not opposites. So I call it light switch thinking or binary thinking. And I'm getting this too on my channel because I criticize the police state, which we do live in a police state here in the United States. You know, just because I don't see goose stepping down the streets of these thugs, which, by the way, if you want to be one of these thugs, your IQ can be too high. So, you know, someone like, I'm just going to be honest, like, I am overqualified to be a police officer, even if I wanted to be, which I don't think is right. Why would they want people with below average IQs to be police officers and hold these intensely, you know, immediate physical power presences, right? I think it's because they don't want GED graduates to think for themselves. And, you know, so I criticize the police state and I get called a communist on my channel. And it's just ridiculous, you know, this light switch thinking that is going on, not just with that, but with anything, you know. And I think there has been a sustained media effort to make women try to hate men, and in turn get that response such that men are hating women. Which, you know, again, to uphold that deal with myself I made, I think there's been a lot of misandristic media the last 3-4 years. Really a lot of man-hating stuff. And I think the BLM movement has been hijacked by some of these sociopaths. And I can't say that to certain people. I mean, like, a lot of great people I respect just don't follow me. They just don't want to see what I'm talking about. They don't even message me to discuss it, you know, which I'm totally willing to do on my YouTube channel. I message them, I'm like, yo, we can talk about this in public on YouTube and publish it, but they don't want to do this. They enjoy thinking the way that they want to. And I just moved from last month from the Pacific Northwest back to the Midwest, partially because of the political situation that is going on over there with the multiple Antifa strongholds that are going on. And again, tying it back to this light switch thinking, this happened to me too. You get accused of being a rapist. That wouldn't happen to me, but it falls under this point I'm trying to make. I got accused of being sexist. I got accused of being a racist multiple times. And once those accusations are out there, the verdict is in. It's guilty until proven innocent here in the U.S. with these issues. And, you know, it's just going back to that division, polarization. And I think this is intentional. It's divide and conquer. And that man whose video I just watched on your channel, you know, he's saying this historically, this doesn't end great for the elites. They end up with their necks in ropes, in nooses, or with their heads chopped off. And look, these things need to happen. Under the, you know, hopefully legal system. But again, the legal system is corrupt, right? So what do we do? And I think the most important thing is to discuss this with people. You know, I spent the last day and a half with my grandparents, who, like I said, they're very decidedly Democratic. The one side is. And I was honest with my family there about who I'm voting for this election, what I think of what is going on. And, you know, conspiracies. A conspiracy is just two or more people planning a crime together. The Nazis in Nuremberg. One of the crimes they got charged with was conspiracy to commit war. So, you know, this connotation of the word conspiracy as being a bunch of hogwash or just, you know, something you hear from people who are coked up or LSD'd up. You know, it, again, from what I've read, it was a CIA operation to achieve that end. So, the police, too, they should be... This qualified immunity needs to go. Our police has been completely militarized, and they need to have the fear being put in the electric chair. Okay, and I made a deal with myself to be honest. They need to have a fear of being put to sleep. Okay, these people are psychopaths, sociopaths. These people enjoy violence, and as long as there's qualified immunity for these politicians who don't have to take drug tests. But I worked at Walmart a couple years ago. I had to take a drug test to work in the warehouse. And the people who are running this country don't have to take a drug test. You know, I could go on and on with this. I'm at 15 minutes, which is my limit. So I just wanted to thank everybody for listening. I got interviews with Sean Atwood on my channel. I visited him last year in London. Pepsi Watts and John Wedger I saw at the end of last year / the beginning of this year. And Darren Jeffrey, who is just on Sean's channel as well. And again, Miss Breeze, I have been following you since your interview with Sean in the third quarter of last year, I think it was. And one of the first things I actually thought of at the start of this pandemic was your prescience with, you said there could be anarchy if there's this mass distrust of the media. And I thought of that almost immediately after this pandemic started. I was like, oh, Miss Breeze called it. And then I according to your Twitter, I actually remember it before you did. So shout out to you for being prescient in that sense. Again, thank you, Miss Breeze, for this platform. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Keep an open mind and be willing to discuss ideas. And we have to figure out what our boundary point is, where we won't tolerate this any longer. And we have to discuss this with our family, friends, loved ones, and enemies before it's too late. Cheers. All the best from the Midwest. Stay frosty, folks. Until next time.